Okay. Okay, we're back in session.
Director Burson, I just had a question about item number 24 on the correspondence. And it might be also for council. I was just trying to fully... we don't have a copy of the actual question submitted to us. And as I reviewed that response or advice letter, all of it made sense to me, but I was trying to fully understand the interplay between the commissioner's connection to the private law firm, Malone Law Firm, which that firm is suing the BLM, I believe, is what he said, and the relationship of the votes that the commission may be taking in the future with respect to the county's participation or continued participation in the ONC land at consortium, which is BLM.
Right.
So that's the part where I wasn't wondering, and what I didn't know is maybe you fully considered that, or maybe he didn't spell it out as well in his question, but that's where I think the real potential conflict lies, and maybe it's not a conflict because there's no enrichment, but...
Well, maybe the BLM lands and how they relate to ONC are set, so he's not going to have any opportunity to vote or change that.
So you didn't have a chance to see the letter from him on 158 through 160 in your book?
Oh, is it in there?
Yeah.
I didn't see it. Well, if I missed that, that would be mine.
So in all fairness to our legal counsel, not all of these opinions or all this advice we run by her. Obviously, advisory opinion she has to sign off on, so they do. But some of this advice that we give is, I try to give you everything. I write a letter underneath my, letter is written underneath my signature, so you have it. So it could be anywhere from informal advice to staff opinions to actual advisory opinions, like we saw where you folks voted. And I usually always include Amy on staff opinions and advisory opinions I have to, and then there are some advice that we do talk about beforehand.
Sometimes, yeah.
So.
Well, I actually think his request letter is really well articulated. He does lay out the problem and the concerns. So I guess I'm not sure. I guess I would, maybe I just want a little bit more on that. And I also...
It almost feels like a legal conflict.
And that was the other thing. Really, I was the other reaction I had to the letter was, when you are advising a person who is both a public official and an attorney, you might want to have some standard language in your letter that says, this opinion is narrowly construed with respect to the Oregon government ethics laws, but as a licensed attorney in the state of Oregon, you may wish to consult with the bar on any potential legal conflicts of interest.
Or at least we're not opining on any legal conflict of interest you might have.
So that's the other piece that I think might be a helpful disclaimer for our body to include. Those were my reactions to that one.
Thank you.
And maybe I know too much about
it. Anyone want a brownie?
Not a special brownie.
All right.
I sold brownies. Okay,
thank you. So hard to sell brownies, right?
No.
So we're going to move on to the topic. Are there any other questions regarding any of the staff advice items? If not, we will go to the trainer's report.
Chair Burke, commissioners, the trainer's report, and it's a little sparse because we've kind of been working on the statement of economic interest filers. They've been our big focus. There's a lot of calls we've been receiving, and at the same time, we've also been working with the lobbyists and their client employers to make sure that they file on time because they've collided timely. Both the filers have the April 15th deadline. So we've been diligently working with both of those filers, types of filers, and answering questions. At the same time, we had Commissioner Keene provide us a referral. As Chair Burke has mentioned, one of the big pieces to what our agency has been championing is the education part.
Hey, and missed you a couple times. I'll put you back on, okay?
Pieces is that we do recommend and we do encourage highly is that you are one of our biggest advocates. You know, making sure that you're out there advising that we provide this at no cost of training. So we will be coordinating training on behalf of Commissioner Keene. We'll be coordinating some additional training. And as you can see, one of the respondents that came before you also has asked for training. And we will be providing that training on an ongoing basis. So that's, we thank you, Commissioner Keene, for that recommendation. So as you continue to consider at matters that come before you, keeping that in the back of your forethought, of how can I use this platform to make a recommendation for individuals that we see come before us? How can I use my position as a commissioner to kind of springboard that level of education? Contact Monica or myself, of course, obviously, the director, or even through the investigators. I mean, please use us. I mean, that's what we're here for. Monica and I are more than prepared to, you know, coordinate those trainings. But with that being said, that's what we've been working on primarily is just the focus of those FBI filers, making sure that they have the information they need to correctly file the Statement of Economic Interest reports. So thank you, Chair.
Okay. Any questions for our esteemed trainer? Yes, Senator Starr.
I want to acknowledge that I've had help in filing my this, hope that I don't get in trouble with that.
SCI. Does everybody have their SCIs in?
You're welcome.
If we haven't heard from you, does that mean we filed improperly?
Yeah, you're good.
No, I got an email on, was it Tuesday? Because I hadn't pushed finalized.
Oh.
And I had done, I filled it all the way out. She acknowledged that I had filled it all the way out, but I had not submitted it. And I didn't realize that I hadn't submitted
letter
it.
Letter of education.
I'm expecting a letter of education.
I'm sure.
I felt stupid. So thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome.
Okay. So that's the trainer's report. Now we'll move on to the executive director report.
Okay. Well, thank you, Chair. So the 17-19 budget's just about through. We got a couple months left, I guess 3.5 months left, and we're still projecting about $190,000 surplus in our budget, which will pass over into our ending balance for, I'm sorry, into our beginning balance for the next biennium. I try to include this in there with you folks because I know we've been talking about it a long time about the amount of surplus that's here, but, you know, it's, you know, my hat's off really to the staff here and stuff. I mean, they do a lot of work and not, I mean, we don't spend a lot of money here in trying to get that done. I mean, we find ways of sharing with other agencies and stuff like that and trying to get this out, you know, this work done because we understand that we're also, like, personnel driven and those costs for personnel go up each year and trying to just keep the assessments at a very even level so that the cities and counties and special districts that pay for us aren't seeing big increases in each biennium. So my hat's really off the staff for doing that. I also include up to $55,000, so we made $25,000 more than we said we'd make in this biennium. So the general fund should be just swimming in it now.
Good job.
Swimming in it.
Ron, are you going to have trouble filling Haley's job, or do you have folks that you already advertised?
I'll talk about that, but as everybody kind of has figured out by now, Haley Whedon secured a position in the private sector. I think I've said for a long time that the state of Oregon just right now just isn't quite the employer that it maybe once was. There's a lot of talk you see in the news each day about benefits and, of course, retirement being reduced. The economy and the private sector is doing pretty good. And so we're always competing with people out there that are looking for. And, of course, you know, a young person that has a degree in law, I think a good asset that the private sector is looking for. I think she'll be, it's an exciting place that she's going. It's on affordable housing, which I think is a subject that's kind of number one on the list out there. Portland's actually a private company that does.
Do you know what company?
I could probably get it. I don't know it right off the hand, but she basically they obtain grants, and her job is to make sure that they're complying with the requirements of those grants.
That's great.
So they're looking for somebody that's detail oriented, looking at making sure that they're doing that type of work. So she was excited about it. It's also tough for the commute, from Portland down to here. I think it gets tougher all the time, and she folks to make the drive down here, and so having a job that's closer to home. As far as the recruitment goes, we've only had the recruitment out there for, a week or so, and I saw yesterday, I haven't looked at today, but there's already 14 people that applied. So, I haven't looked at those applications, but I will say that I think the commission has been fortunate in the past in their hirings and hiring some pretty qualified folks to come in here. Mm-hmm. So,
can I say on that note, it seems like for lack of a better term, you've been burning through more people in just the last year and a half.
Yeah.
I mean, is that what you're talking about? Just the structural issues, with benefit packages in general.
Well. I think it's a combination of things. I think that this agency exposes you to a lot of different things out there. And like I say, with the trainers, they're out there with a lot of other government bodies and private sector folks. And I think that we have seen people in the training side that have left because of just maybe a lot of the contacts that they have. And they, like I said, they're seen by a lot of people, and like I said, we hire really qualified people in here, and they're impressive. And I think, just like you had complimented Tammy on her presentation at your conference. I mean, you weren't the only one that heard that, and so I think that some of our people get recruited a little bit, and they're able to offer some things that the state just isn't ready to offer at this time. If you remember the last biennium, state employees. cost of living was a 0.5% per year.
Yes.
So, and at the same time you read the stories about the economy growing at a very fast pace. And so we've just kind of been overwhelmed with that. I don't think our salaries are as competitive as they used to be. And then when you start, we've always kind of, as a public employee, you've always kind of agreed to take a little bit less on the top. But maybe some other stuff on the bottom.
But with the PERS unfunded liability, it doesn't inspire confidence.
Well, it's a talk about PERS. It's a talk about health benefits and things like this in the past that we've relied on. And, of course, but we still have the one great thing, and that is, you have some job security here. I mean, we don't just fire people just because you wore a funny shirt one day, or I don't agree that you're U of O and I'm Oregon State. I mean, so you have some job security. So, I mean, there's still people that are attracted to that.
It's the same as the Star Trek uniforms hanging up in your office, right?
Yeah. But the, but I think our people get, I mean, like I said, the investigators are talking with people all over the state, all kinds of different jurisdictions, law firms, other firms, all over the place. So,
and I manage 13 employees, and staffing can be, it kind of comes in waves, but when it's solid for a while, we're paying people right, things are definitely dialed in, and when you start seeing a lot of, transition,
Yeah. I mean, what I saw is, we've lost a couple of employees now to the private sector. It's always hard. But
can I ask a question?
Sure.
Your investigator positions, are they classified as attorney positions?
They are not. They are compliance specialist positions. Hmm. Actually, one is an investigator three, which I hope to change at one time because the investigator three level, they're both at the same level of pay, but the investigator series requires 4 years of investigative work. And so you could have a person come out of, say, a law school, not have 4 years of investigative work, and they wouldn't qualify for it. Where a compliance specialist is a different qualification. It's not that specifically doing investigations. And our investigators could probably talk here more about what their job really entails, but it's a lot about, it's more communication skills than it is, you know, that kind of investigative technique. And I know when we interview for folks, that's kind of our thing. We want people to be able to, talk to people and write and things like this. So, anyway.
And are your positions similarly funded to those investigator positions, say, at, like, Foley or other government agencies where they do a lot of, like, legal-type investigations?
Well, there are sets of investigators. Like, at the Board of Accounts, you have a financial investigator that's at a range 26. Ours are 25. Mm-hmm. Investigator 3s, like the Department of Justice has several investigator 3s that are out there. They're at range 25, and ours are at 25. So a lot of the people that are at those upper levels, they've actually gone to this compliance specialist series, which this position is compliance specialist 2, but like Diane's is a compliance specialist 3, which is at a range 29. So there are some, we do have some positions that compete very well with that. And
do you think that your positions are classified correctly, or would you want to change the classification at some point in the future?
So far, we're attracting the right people. Okay. I mean,
are you able to retain them? I mean, I agree. I think you're attracting the right people. We've got great people here.
Yeah.
But the question is retention and whether you can remain competitive.
Well, you know, ever since I've worked for small agencies since 2000, and I've always said that the state of Oregon is your employer, and I have lost people to other agencies, but I'm okay with that because I think that, if we look at ourselves, if I bring somebody in and say, your only career ladder here is this.
Right.
I think that's a limiting factor in bringing people in. Like if you're in Diane's position, I mean, the position above that is me. So, I mean, you're down to, like, one that's just so limiting. And so by looking at the entire state, I think there are other possibilities that people can do. It's this trend of the private sector that I don't appreciate as much right now that I'm having a hard time with. Some of it's the commute, you know, hiring people out of Portland. I think there's some of that that's the commute. We've tried to have people try to telework a little bit so that they're not making that drive every time. I know we've also done some, like, flexible schedules, so maybe they're coming down 4 days a week instead of 5 days a week. So we'll continue to look at those things. But the classifications right now, I'm pleased with. Like I said, I think they're able to take those skills, and maybe they can't do it inside the agency, but they can do it somewhere in state government. They can move those skills to other places.
Sorry, we put you through the third degree then.
I think hiring is one of the hardest things to do. We're a small group here. I'm really annoying to be around, and so we don't need like two people.
No kidding.
We don't need like two people there. So I'm already a big challenge. So trying to bring somebody in that fits with the small group, and it's one of the things I always appreciate working for a small agency is I felt we had a lot more control over creating the environment that I want to work in. You know, sometimes the big agencies, working for the Department of Justice, a lot of politics and stuff that goes on. It's just harder to turn the big ship than it is the small boat. So, but I appreciate the question. So, okay, so the new budget started in July. It has passed through Ways and Means. It actually has had its third reading. It is basically passed. It's sitting on the governor's desk. We've put the blue sheet in. It's ready for signature. So the 1921 biennial budget is done. So the legislative bill is 2096, which is the attorney fees. It passed out of the House Judiciary Committee. It actually passed the floor the other day on a 59-0-1 vote. So that should vote us well into it. Good momentum going into the Senate to pass the House unanimously to basically treat us like every other agency. We're not just automatically paying attorney fees out there. you saw a case today where the case was before you because we had been taken to task at court, and the judge ordered us to open up a case, and that cost us $10,000 to do that, paying those attorney fees. So that's really good news. 2277, which is our lobby, trying to add people like myself with the state, not-for-profits, associations, and private lobbyists that work for private businesses to go ahead and register if it's part of their job, essentially. It's a little stalled. I thought we had a possible work session this last, I think it was Wednesday it was, and they passed an amendment which they added the state court administrator and the deputy state court administrator, the people that are exempt from lobbying, so that same group of folks that are like the governor and the chief of staff, and there's several people that are exempted, to add those folks into that. It was supposed to come back into the work session on Monday, but they got canceled, so I have an appointment into Holby's office to try to find out what's happening with this bill. So I suspect there's some state employees that don't want to have to register as lobbyists, like to hide behind the 24 hours, but my philosophy on that is if you're getting paid to lobby the legislature, you should just go ahead and go ahead and register and, mm-hmm. and file those reports. Otherwise, we'll never have a clue on how much is actually being spent on lobbying. And I don't know if you've seen, there's been a lot of articles lately about what is being spent at the Capitol on lobbying by different groups out there. And so, in 2097 is essentially dead. That was our little bill that I thought was going to be really easy, that we were trying to be nice to lobbyists and give the lobbyists the same protections underneath our advice that's given to public officials underneath our advice. And nobody wants to give lobbyists anything. So I think it's died an ugly death. It's still in rules. It could still be revived. But I will tell the group here I'm not putting a ton of effort into reviving that. If the lobby themselves aren't going to work to try to get that going, then I'm probably not going to do that. Mm-hmm. So that's what's happened with the bills. SEIs came and gone. We all know that. The last numbers we have, so we've had almost 4,500 people file as of the 18th, so I suspect it's a little bit more than that now, out of about 5,000. So, again, the system's working well. It's getting people in here filing. I will tell you that the phones, lots of resets and things like that. They trained me how to do a password reset. I'm sad to say I never did one of them, so the staff took care of all of them. But I did take care of a couple of people because I think they actually passed my personal number, not my personal number, by my actual desk number out at the legislature. So I had several legislators and a couple of judges call me specifically on their SEIs. But that's really all I did. The staff did an excellent job of helping people during that time and taking care of those phone calls that are coming in to get people filed. And understanding our system. So we have opened this compliance specialist 2 position. It is out there. If you know anybody that's interested in doing this type of work, show them where it's at on the state's job page. Again, we're down to 3 clients and 4 lobbyists that are delinquent on all 4 quarters, or for all 4 quarters of 18. They're on all those quarters, there's only 3 clients and 4 lobbyists that are delinquent. And then the last thing I'll say is once a year, Governor Brown, and I'm a big fan of this program, she has asked agencies to move people's names ahead that do good work for us, and she has a reception at the mansion for those employees. And so they're able to go to the mansion and talk with the governor. I think there's little eats and feed and eats and be able to see the mansion. But just the recognition, again, we can't always compete on salary, but sometimes it just feels good for people for the top boss in the state to say that you're doing a good job, mm-hmm. and just have some appreciation. And so I will say that this year, I think Tammy gets to go. So we nominate Tammy to to the governor's office and onto the governor's mansion, and they have accepted. I'm only allowed, being a small agency, I'm only allowed one. But I was able this year, because they also had another category for people that are either new to state government or really old in state government. And so I'm the only really old one in state government that has plus 30 years in. And but we put Susan's name forward, and so she will attend employee recognition signing at the Capitol in the ceremonial governor's office for representing new employees to the state of Oregon. Again, it's important to be an employer. So we get two employees here. They're going to be able to interact with the governor and the governor's office for their hard work.
Ron, you have over 30 years in FERS, and you're still working?
I do.
Have you done the math?
I have, but I'm also young. And plus my wife, yeah. I mean, she actually retired. She had 38 years in. She retired. They keep bringing her back to work part-time.
Or you could quit, take the pension, and get rehired again.
That's
right, yes.
I am too.
Oh, my gosh.
But
it's like a lottery winner in front of us.
Look, it's always loves the work.
No, but you can still do the work and get paid more.
You're a dedicated public worker. I appreciate it.
I enjoy this job, but when I start not enjoying it, I will say thank you very much, and I will go off and try some other life. But at this time, I still get up in the morning and look forward to coming in here. And these days, I always look forward to these
things.
Well,
we're grateful.
By Winnebago.
Yeah.
But it's some country with no extradition treaty?
I'm not sure. You'll be better to have a Winnebago.
Snowden reference.
So the last thing I was thinking of is I wanted to we got the Gold Star certificate again. I always show this to you guys because I want you to be confident in our financial accounting around here. So all of our bills are in on time, and we pay them on time, and it's important to me to show this to you guys.
That's terrific.
So that, because I took over an agency one time that wasn't the case, and it is a nightmare when bills are not paid on time, and just trying to figure out what to do in this. Mm-hmm. when you're a body that gets money through assessments or through licensure or something like that, it's good to know that. So Virginia does an excellent job. She wasn't able to be here today, but she does an excellent job in making sure that when the bills come in, we get them reviewed, they get on my desk, and we get them paid. And so I just wanted to make sure that you folks saw that, too. So I appreciate your time, Chair. And I said, if anybody has any questions, that's all I have.
It's good to get them paid on time. You don't want Stewie Griffin coming after you asking, where's my money?
No, I'm a big believer in paying on time.
I may not be here next time. In fact, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to be. It's May 31st.
No!
Okay. Yeah, and I will be out, I think it's the 21st or the 27th. I'll be in Canada chasing Yogi.
Yogi and Boo Boo.
He won last year, so I'm going back. So, but I will have my cell phone, and so people need to get a hold of me. It's the same place last year. They have to get. I mean, there are places that we do get coverage, and so I will be looking at that each day. So anyway, I appreciate your time.
He will answer the question, does a bear blank in the woods? He'll try and answer that classic question.
Right. And again, that recording.
I want to make a comment.
Yes.
I was really impressed at our last meeting with the level of questioning that went on and how it really seemed to me to be very nonpartisan, very competent, and I'm honored at the young age of 86 to be included among this group of people here. And the 31st day of March was my wife and I's 63rd anniversary.
Wow.
And the very next weekend, we went back to where it all started, at Moscow, Idaho, mm-hmm. and had a real real fine time of visiting with her family. She graduated from Marcy High School, same year I graduated from the university, and she got an engagement ring for high school graduation.
Wow.
And so I robbed the cradle.
Good for you.
We've managed to hang on. And I promised her if she'd marry me, we'd have four sons. And she still did. And we had four sons.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a wonderful life.
Great.
And we've been mightily blessed. And I'm grateful to be able to serve the state at my age, because my life has been a commitment to service.
Thank you.
And you make really good zucchini.
Really good zucchini. Yes, Susan.
Miss Wendy Chong is here. We did dismiss her case earlier. She had just traveled back from a.
I just wanted to thank the commission for reviewing my case. My father passed away, and I had to travel back east unexpectedly, so I just got off the plane and came here. And I'm unfortunately I missed my matter, so I apologize for bursting in. But I understand my case has been dismissed, so I just wanted.
And you do have a copy of the report, correct?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for taking the time.
Sorry for your loss.
Yes.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
He was 89, and. But it was still unexpected. It's always hard. But thank you again, and again, apologies for bursting.
No, that's okay.
No.
Thank you for being here.
Okay, I think unless there is anything else to go to the order, I will adjourn this meeting. So
thank
we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.